When Lewis and Clark made their voyage across what would later become Montana, they saw a relatively untouched expanse of land. It was home to bison and deer, coyotes, and a lot of other native creatures. Well, what was there in the past is now the vision of a new organization called the American Prairie Reserve. With funding from high-profile, wealthy donors like billionaire candy heirs Forrest Mars Jr. and his brother John and Susan Packard Orr, who's daughter of the co-founder of Hewlett-Packard, the organization's been buying up properties all around Montana, trying to form the largest contiguous national park in the lower 48, an area of land about the size of Connecticut and surpassing Yellowstone by 1 million acres. And there, the American Prairie Reserve will reintroduce native species, including genetically purebred bison. Pete Geddes is one of the managing directors of the American Prairie Reserve, and despite some pushback from local ranchers and farmers who say the land doesn't need saving, Pete says preserving the grasslands would greatly add to our already robust collection of national parks.
I'm sure most of your listeners are quite familiar with the iconic Western national parks like Glacier, Yellowstone, Grand Teton, Yosemite. Those parks were formed relatively early in our nation's history and were often chosen for their geologic values. Yellowstone and Yosemite would be classic examples of that. What was missed in the formation of the parks are areas or ecosystems that also support a large amount of biodiversity. And the grasslands do just that. We know that about 200 years ago in the area of Montana where we're working, from the journals of trappers and Lewis and Clark, that there was an abundance and diversity of wildlife that was found nowhere else on the northern Great Plains. And furthermore, the grasslands are underrepresented globally from a conservation perspective. There are only four places left in the world, the northern Great Plains being one, where these grasslands still exist at a large enough scale and in an intact enough state, meaning they haven't been plowed up and converted to agriculture like most of the Great Plains has been.
So we mentioned wild bison, of course, deer and coyotes, a lot of other animals and flora as well, I'm sure. How close do you think you can get to the original flora and fauna of a place like that? I mean, man can't just recreate it. Nature has to do that. Can you get close to the way it was, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about with all conserved areas across the world, not rolling things back to the Pleistocene. That's not our goal, of course, but our goal is to preserve a semblance of what once was. All the native plants are still intact in our area, unlike other places that your listeners might be familiar with in the Great Plains, like Kansas or Iowa, for example, where the land has been turned and converted to agricultural commodity crops. The area where we're working has been grazed with cattle. So all the native plants are still there in their state. And of course, our goal is to assemble a landscape that's large enough so that when we put the wildlife back on there, like bison that was there 200 years ago, we have enough space where these animals don't get in trouble with neighbors.
Before we let you go, Pete Geddes, managing director of the American Prairie Reserve, my mind can't help but go back to frontier days and to Lewis and Clark, as we mentioned, as you talk about what you're doing there. And I wonder if you envision people who visit, you know, regular sort of modern day camping with high tech tents and GPS systems and solar grills, or do you think you're going to attract enthusiasts of antiquity, maybe let in some Conestoga wagons and maybe a way for people to get back to the way it was? I don't know.
That's a really interesting question. We have a group coming up from the Explorers Club, which is based in New York City, and they're actually going to recreate a section of Lewis and Clark's journey, and they're going to float down the Missouri River. They are interested, in some sense, in recreating that experience that Lewis and Clark had about 200 years ago. Other people, of course, are going to come into the reserve as they can do today and stay at campgrounds and drive their RVs around and experience it much like you would Yellowstone National Park. So there'll be a variety of ways people can experience the place, and our job is to make sure they do it in an appropriate way that protects the ecosystem and still allowing for them to enjoy this incredible nature experience.
Well, the American Prairie Reserve is looking to acquire a landmass about the size of Connecticut and raise $450 million to do it, to reintroduce native species to the land. This is all happening in the name of conservation and biodiversity, and not with your taxpayer money, but with rich folks' money. Pete Geddes is one of the people in charge. He's managing director of the American Prairie Reserve. Thanks, Pete.
Home, home on the range. Where the deer...
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.